Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene, Wednesday, January 12th, 2011.
We're pleased to welcome Dean Mackey of Barclays Capital. Dr. Mackey, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
Are jobs still moving to China within the stereotype of that? Are jobs still moving to Asia?
I think there's a steady stream of outsourcing that is part of the structural economy and has been for quite a long time. So I don't think there's anything new there, but there is that phenomenon ongoing.
Secretary Geithner returns to where he took his master's degree in 1985. I'm going to call that 10, 20, 25 years ago he goes back. Boy, have things changed within the phrase globalization. It was one of my themes when I was doing Bloomberg on the economy. Dean Mackey, what is the new globalization?
I mean, it's hard to summarize in one phrase. The way I would describe it from a U.S. perspective, what globalization means is that more and more of our economy is producing exports, and we're importing more and more. Now, that was interrupted briefly during the recession with sharp drops in both of those, but we've gotten back on the growth track in recent months.
Well, when you look at comparative growth rates here, the U.S. continues to lead everybody but China.
There are a number of developed emerging markets that are growing faster than the U.S. India, much of emerging Asia is growing much faster than the U.S. And that is the typical pattern. Emerging countries are able to grow faster than developed countries in general.
Sure, but when you look at Germany, 3.7% last year, strongest growth there since reunification, about 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But that's not going to be enough to lift the entire Eurozone.
It certainly helps, and the German growth has been extremely impressive. And so what the phenomenon we have right now is the core of Europe is doing quite well in terms of growth, the periphery much less well. And so we have this a bit of a two-speed Europe right now.
Dean, let's bring it back to the United States. I've been surprised how analysis of jobs continues front and center off a mixed jobs report and some of the sub-indices of NFIB. Not all that good. You've been a relative optimist. Has there been an update to your glide path of improved unemployment?
No, we actually are sticking to our view that the unemployment rate is going to drop significantly this year. The month-to-month changes are volatile, so we don't want to read too much into the four-tenths drop. But I do think that we are on a downward trend on the unemployment rate, and we will be hitting 8.6% by the end of the year. What's happening is, as we move forward in our forecast is firms lose a bit of the caution that's been holding them back, and growth stays in a 3 to 3.5% range. That combination, we think, leads to a steadily falling unemployment rate.
I want to note, folks, how an outlier that is. I mean, it's really remarkable how Larry Kantor and Dean Mackey have led on this better GDP, and now they're leading in terms of the optimism
right.
of that unemployment rate coming down as it typically does in recoveries.
Yeah, Dean, as Tom said, 8.6 puts you in the more optimistic camp in forecasting unemployment. What do you see that some of the more pessimistic guys are missing?
Well, I think that one of the real distinctions in our view versus others is we don't view the drop in the labor force participation rate mainly as people becoming discouraged and dropping out. Instead, this is something that's been predictable for quite some time and is something that's been happening throughout this decade. It's more and more of the baby boomers are hitting retirement age every single month, and that means that the labor force is simply growing a lot more slowly because that participation rate is steadily falling.
Dean, I'm going to push back on you there. You say the baby boomers are going to retire. Can they afford to retire?
There certainly are some that are going to have to push back that retirement age. But if we look at the 55 and over age group, the participation rate there is 40%, where for 45 to 54-year-olds, it's 81%. So as long as that 40% doesn't become 80%, this downtrend in the participation rate is likely to continue.
Well, Dean, are these people retiring younger, or are they getting retired, whether they want to or not?
I think it's a mixture of both. It's you know, some of them are retiring in the very traditional way. Others are just deciding that the prospects aren't enough for them to stay in the labor market. So there's both good news and bad news there, but I think it is the reality and something that I don't think many people have adjusted to.
This is why we love to have Dean Mackey on, folks. It's one thing to blather about it. It's another thing to come up with the cold statistics of the labor participation rate. In the jobs report, Dean, we saw a new record low. Let me rephrase that. We saw a new cyclical low in labor participation way back. We really broke under 64%. What did that signal to you?
To me, this is primarily, the way I describe it, if one goes back to 2000 and says, what should have happened between 2000 and 2010, based on demographics, we should be about right where we are on the participation rate. And we should keep on that downward trend over the next decade. The way I describe it, for a while we could fight that demographic trend when we had a booming labor market, the housing bubble really cranking, unemployment at 4.5%. Then the participation rate held steady against this trend. As soon as you had any weakening, though, that trend reasserted itself.
Ken and I are looking at each other in shock over Dean Mackey optimism here. Dean, what do we need to look forward to into January? What economic statistics are you most focused on?
In terms of the rest of this month, I do think the inflation numbers are quite important here. We think that we are going to see some significant inflation, most of it in energy prices, but we're looking for a 0.5% rise in the CPI, 0.1% on the core. And I think we are in an environment now where food and energy prices are consistently going to be running faster than core prices. And so our view is that core is not a very good measure of the trend in inflation in this kind of environment where you have strong global and emerging market growth.
And certainly, folks, that dovetails with what we've seen from so many of you emailing into us and tweeting this just huge doubt about focus on core. People seeing, there's no X food and energy, Dean Mackey, in the home, is there?
No, it would be nice if we were able to just cut out those expenses and focus on the slowly growing ones, but that's just not the world we live in.
Great update. Dean Mackey, thank you so much.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on satellite radio, Sirius Channel 130 and XM Channel 129. Copyright 2011.